The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Father, open every ear to hear and every heart receptive to receive your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Maybe seated. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Luke's Gospel. Don't worry about the bulletin now, guys. Don't worry about it. That's a prayer for you. It's different from what I'm doing here. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. During those days, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus ordered that the first census be taken throughout the empire. Cyrenius was governor of Syria at the time. Everyone had to travel to his or her hometown to complete the mandatory census. So Joseph and his fiancée Mary left Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and journeyed to their hometown in Judea, to the village of Bethlehem, King David's ancient home. They were required to register there since they were both direct descendants of David. Mary was pregnant and nearly ready to give birth. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. After wrapping the newborn babe in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding trough since there was no available space in any upper room in the village, which is very interesting that this comes from the Aramaic and it refers to an upper room. I just bring that to your attention. Somebody said, well, you seem to be really attached to the upper room. I kind of am. That night in a field near Bethlehem, where the shepherds were watching over their flock, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There's a lot of things that God does that involve many suddenlies. You might be going through circumstances and situations where you feel like there's no way out, and then suddenly. How many of you with the uplifted hand would say, I've experienced a suddenly? Who needs a suddenly? Then get ready. Get ready for a suddenly. We still have quite a number of days left of this old year that suddenly, before the new year dawns, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, which I tell you what, that's a holy moment when something like that takes place. That's why there would never be anybody that would say, I think an angel appeared to me. Listen, if an angel appears to you, you'll know an angel appeared to you, and your knees will have fellowship one with the other. That's all I can tell you. So an angel appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field. Watch this now, with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. You say, why? Because this is not a natural occurrence. It's not every day you meet angels in a field. And it's night and they light up the field. I mean, everything's bright with the glory of God. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. Everything God does is supernatural. And so when man has an encounter with God, you can read that from Genesis through to Revelation. Every time an angel of the Lord appeared to somebody, they had to say, fear not. Because it's an awesome thing. I meet people all the time, say, an angel appeared to me, and I look at them and I go, oh. I don't think so, you know. How come you say an angel of the Lord appeared to you and you look like hell? That's impossible. It's impossible. Are you with me? Your whole life will be transformed. Amen. But they said, don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news. which that's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the message of Christmas, which is good news. Not good news, there's a sale. And have you ever noticed all these stores, listen, this is funny. Have you noticed all these stores with their Christmas sales, the best sales are after Christmas? So how come they're wishing me a Merry Christmas, but their best sale is the day after Christmas? How would you know if a store was genuine if they do their best sale now and the prices go up after Christmas? Think about that. A lot of these things anyway, just to lure you in, where they actually mark the price up 50% and then load it. They're still making on it, you know. But that's Madison Avenue for you. That's advertising for you. We mark up, but we mark down, you know. Add 120% and take off 80%. For you, special today. And the day after Christmas, they're giving this stuff away. You can buy it at the dollar store. So don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news. Everybody say good news. Well, good news, there's a reaction to good news. I've never seen anybody get good news and then they're all upset and they're crying and it's terrible, it's the end of the world. And somebody said, what happened? I just got good news. Good news releases something in you. That's why if somebody ever comes to you and says, look, I have good news and bad news, which one do you want first? Okay, give me the bad news and then hit me with the good news, you know, just so that we don't end on a bad note. But when he comes, it's good news. Good news to those that are bound by sin. You don't have to be bound anymore. And you're going to be free today. You're going to be free. The power of sin is going to be broken off of your life. It says, yeah, I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. The greatest news is not that you won some money, that you've been selected for some position. Those are all temporal things. Are you with me? Oh, I've been approved for the facelift. There was a backup. I had the top surgeon who was going to lift my face. And I was so sad because I really wanted my face to be lifted. And I've been on a waiting list for 6 months. And I'm so happy. I just got approved and my face is going to be lifted. I'm being ridiculous, I understand. But people are excited about nonsense. Hello. Stuff that 100 years from now will mean nothing. Good news, glad tidings of great joy. And it's for everyone, everywhere. In other words, it's not just for one group of people. Amen. It's not just for one nationality or one nation. It's for every single tribe and every tongue. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy about that? Because if it wasn't for that fact, then how would I, as an African, how would I get saved? Are you with me? Somebody said, you're an African? Yes, I'm an African. I'm born in Africa. I moved here 32 years ago with my wife and 3 children. I became an American. I'm so now officially an African-American. Don't look at the shade. Somebody said, well, how did you get to Africa? Ask my ancestors. They went back there in the 1700s. How many know you can't choose where your ancestors go? Hello. But the gospel, the good news came to us in Africa. came to my mother and came to my father, and they accepted Jesus, and they took us to church. And at the age of five, I heard the gospel. And at the age of five, I raised my hand to say, I want this Jesus. At the age of five, I walked down the aisle to accept him as my Lord and Savior. At the age of five, I heard the call to go to all the world and preach the gospel. At the age of five, I felt I must go tell other people this good news. For me to even stand here today is a miracle. If I could show you where I've come from and where the Lord brought us from, then you realize if God can do that for him, what can he do for me? Because God is no respecter of persons. But let me tell you what he is a respecter of, is faith. And for somebody that would reach out in faith and say, if it's available for him, it's available for me. If he can receive it, I'm going to receive it today. You can't earn this. You cannot buy it. It is free. It is not for sale. You don't have enough money to buy 1 ounce of the blood of Jesus. But all you have to do is humble yourself to come and say, okay, Lord, because how many have tried to make yourself better? Wave your hand. Who's tried to get yourself better? Who's actually read books on how to better yourself? Listen, if you just come as you are, then he will make you what you are meant to be. Can you say amen? So for today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord, Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough. Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, which you know that he is the God of the angel armies. He is the God of the angel armies, and these angels are watching over you. Even when you're in the world, even when you're not even serving God, when you're born into the earth, there are angels that watch over you from the time of your birth to the time that you die. How many of you should have been dead? But if it wasn't for the hand of God, the angel of the Lord, you didn't even know the Lord. But God protected you. And the Bible says he gave his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Can you say amen? He's God of the angel armies. The angels of God are working on your behalf even now. When you leave this room today, when you go out, the angels of heaven encamp about you. When you go home, there's angels around your house. Some say, well, we don't have enough security or whatever. You've got angels. They're not little fat babies with diapers that fly around on February the 14th and shoot little arrows. In history, you look, they've got an angel. He's always like half naked, like he's got no clothes, you know. An angel of the Lord, right. People are crazy. They all praise God singing, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. For there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men. When the choir of the angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go, let's hurry, let's find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. So they ran into the village and they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the babe lying feeding in the feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherds' story were astonished by what they were told, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. And the shepherds returned to their flocks ecstatic. Everybody say, ecstatic. Over what had happened. People ask me all the time, how come you're so excited? You're always excited about Jesus and you're excited about, because That's what the message is. Can you say amen? How can you be depressed? I mean, that's why maybe I don't fit into the religious structure. I've hung around preachers' faces so long they can eat grits out of the exhaust pipe of their car. They look like a bullfrog. Always mad about something. Always angry. You think any moment they're going to call lightning down on you and destroy you and remove you from the planet. I don't know what gospel they got a hold of, but they obviously didn't read my Bible. Are you with me? They said, let us go, let's hurry and find the word that was born. Upon seeing the miraculous sign they recounted, everyone heard what are you gonna go tell? Once he touches you, you're not gonna be quiet about it. You're gonna go tell everybody. You're gonna shout it from the mountaintops. And they carried it, and their whole countenance showed it, and they were thrilled like the wise men that brought the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, opened the treasure bags. Pastor Donica just talked about it. And they went in and they worshiped him, and they were thrilled with ecstatic joy beside themselves. That means walking and leaping and praising God. Somebody said, well, I really am happy today. Sure you are. You need to update your Facebook. Ecstatic. Pastor Jason, show me what ecstatic looks like.
Yay!
Well, that was like kind of a controlled ecstatic, with like one leap there. Jan is from Eastern Europe. Show me what ecstatic looks like. That's how they are. What's it, El Salvador? Show me what ecstatic in El Salvador looks like.
Gloria a Dios!
Now everybody's getting nervous that I'm gonna call them. Show me what ecstatic in Cuba looks like. Now, if you don't want me to call you, don't look at me, and I'll just keep looking over you. It was like too controlled. Yeah, redo proper African-American style, my Lord, Abra.
Yeah!
It's better. It's better. I was a little worried. For Bubba. You've been hanging around them politicians too long. I said, oh my God! Now somebody said, "Well, you can't be like that all the time." It's not about being like that, but when you carry this message. You can't deliver this message sad. How in the world are you going to communicate this message sad? Well, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. How can you not do it with joy? You know, I just want you to know 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth, born of a virgin. And he did that for you. Something happens when you begin to tell the story. Your face begins to light up. Why? Because that joy came in your heart. That's why this church is called the Happy Church. That's why in some religious circles, they push me away and treat me like a leper because they're afraid I'm going to bring joy in the room. You mean to tell me that I can take this good news now and that I can receive this good news by faith now, like today, like now, and that I can actually get happy and I can actually rejoice? You mean it's not just something in history that I just read and say, amen? They were ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified Him, for they all heard and seen for themselves just like the angel had said. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I bring you glad tidings of a great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And something happens, because without Jesus we lost. Without Jesus we undone. Without Jesus we condemned. Without Jesus there is no hope. But when He comes, suddenly what was hopeless now has hope. What was bound now is free. What is oppressed now is released. What was a slave suddenly is now a son. A total transformation takes place. And that message of good news comes on the inside of every single person. For the rest of your days, for the remainder of your days, you will never be able to be quiet about it. And if they poke you just enough and prod you just enough and stir you up just enough, it'll start to come out of you. And when it comes out of you, it's going to be the same message that has been preached for 20 centuries around the world, that Jesus has come. Glad tidings of great joy to all people. You know that we've had people that heard, now we've been in, by the grace of God, we've been in 83 countries of the world. 83 countries of the world. And I've had other ministers come to me when they heard I was going to go to a country. And they said, oh, we just need to warn you now about that country. And I thought, what are you talking about? So when we were going to go to Egypt, you know, they said, oh, I've been ministering a long time in Egypt. Egyptians are very sad. And your ministry will not work in Egypt. I thought, first of all, it's not my ministry. Yeah, they're basically saying, your message won't work in Egypt. I thought, it will. It'll work in Egypt. And we arrived in Cairo, Egypt. 3,000 people were saved. Let me tell you. And yes, there were sad Egyptians there, like the sad Americans, but by the end of the night, they were carrying them out of the place, filled with great joy, because they too received this gladness. Can you say amen? The same thing when they heard, we're going to go to Japan and we're going to preach in Tokyo. They said, oh, come here. We need to just advise you a little bit. You're going to go to Japan. The Japanese people are very stoic. They're non-responsive. Your ministry will not work in Japan. I thought, of course it will work. It'll work in every country and region in the world. And I got to Japan, and we were in Tokyo. 2,000 people packed the place, and I got up and I began to preach. The power of God hit the Japanese. Let me tell you, they jumped up, and they start running around the building. Japanese, Japanese, Japanese. I don't want to hear about it. It won't work. It works everywhere there are people. When this joy, when this glad tidings, when this good news is preached, when people grab a hold of it by faith, he transforms their lives. Several years ago, I traveled to a remote region of the world. It took me four days to get there. The final day, it took me 7 hours. We crossed 11 rivers, and I arrived in this remote kingdom in the South Pacific. And I was staying with the governor. There was only electricity 3 hours a night. And I brought as a gift for the governor, because I was going to meet the king, but I brought him one of our iPods from our ministry with thousands of hours on it. And so we're in the kitchen now. He spoke English, but his wife did not. So they asked me what I did. I said, I traveled the world and preached the gospel. I said, let me show you what one of the meetings on. I pulled up one of the meetings, and she stuck one of the pieces, the headphone, this side, and he had a headphone. 10 minutes later, she fell out the kitchen under the power of God, totally gone under the anointing. I didn't realize that they were Catholics. I didn't know anything about it. And he looked at me and said, can I bring people here? Can I bring them here? They didn't know who I was. They had no clue. They just said, can we bring people? I said, yeah. That night, 150 people are in the front of their house. So I walk out there, I don't know, they don't even know who I was. I didn't get up and say, oh, I just need to tell you my name is Rodney Brown and I'm a pastor. I said nothing. I just got up and said, I'm so honored to be here today. I want to tell you about Jesus. And I told him about Jesus. And I said, who wants to accept Jesus? No, please raise their hand. Then I said, I'm going to tell you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The whole place raised their hand. And then I prayed and they all got happy and they all got joy and they all were touched to overflowing. It doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to change the service. Okay, now remember the culture. We have to change. You don't have to change one thing. He didn't say joy to America. He didn't say joy to the first world. He said joy to the world. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. I bring you glad tidings to the world, to every nation, to every tribe and every tongue. And then the fun started, because the word began to spread to other villages. And like our, because we only had 3 hours of electricity, when I went down to go shower, there was no hot water, you know. They didn't have a geyser or anything. And I get in the shower, but I couldn't really see with the lights of the wall, but it looked like the wall was moving. I knew that there were spiders and creatures on the wall, so I thought, I said, I will not shine a light to see what they are. I will stay in the shower and wash myself, and I will finish up my ablutions, you know, because only God knows what's on this wall, but I'm not going to have a look, you know. And so I finished showering, I brushed my teeth, and I was walking back to my room. So I'm walking along, I got like flip-flops on, short pants, t-shirt, I got my toothbrush, you know, and I'm walking to go upstairs to my room. And in the dark, I hear this noise, Dr. Rodney. And I turn, it's the governor. He says, there's a couple, they just come from another village. They said, would you pray for them? Would you pray for them? They heard what happened. Last night, would you pray for them? I said, sure. So I walk in there and I look at them and I said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. And just in a few minutes, I pray with them, lead them to Jesus, pray for them. The power of God hits them. They fall out of the power in the kitchen by the coal stove, you know, that they have. And then I waved at the governor. I see you in the morning. And I went up to my room, you know. It works everywhere. I said, it works everywhere. Can you say amen? Now, let me say this, and I want you to listen very closely to what I'm going to tell you right now. Because everywhere we go, I see people in the church world. One of the things you do at Christmas is you wrap a present, which doesn't even make sense to me. You go, you get all this paper, You take what you want to give them, and then you wrap it, and then the mess on Christmas Day is just paper everywhere. Yeah, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Which I have no problem. You want to keep it as a surprise. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, what are you giving your wife? He said, I already gave it to her. He said, I can't get a gift and not, the moment it arrived, I give it to her. I said, well, you ordered the gift. He said, yeah, it was going to be there for Christmas, but it came last week, so I just gave it to her. I thought, okay, well, whatever. That's what it's supposed to be, a surprise. On a birthday, you wrap a gift. Jesus was wrapped, the Bible says, in swaddling clothes. But you and I, as people that serve him, that love him, that have given our lives to him, we don't have to take the message and wrap it in any way. You don't have to wrap it. You don't even have to put a bow on it. Just have this good news unwrapped. Everywhere you go, that when people look at you, they say, there's something different. Even if you're not saying anything, they say, there's something different about that person. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out. Hello. When Jesus' earthly ministry began, he walked up to total strangers, and he said, follow me. And they all turned and followed him. Somebody said, where are you going? He said, follow me. If that happened here at the mall, a total stranger said, follow me. And your wife said, where are you going? He said, follow me. She'd go, are you crazy? Are you crazy? But there was something about him. And when he comes and lives on the inside of you, and you begin to share this good news.
Hallelujah.
You see, if you've been forgiven much, then you can forgive everybody round about you. Are you with me? If you have had much against you, and you've been forgiven, and you're so happy to receive that forgiveness. Now you know there's no penalty over your head. Someone else took your place. Someone else died. You were supposed to die, but someone else died in your stead. So now you're free. You've been acquitted. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus. What's your first reaction? Out of gratitude, you're going to run around the world and go tell everybody. I know it's so simple, but you can't complicate it. Like I said, you don't need to rewrap it, repack it. Well, we're just going to take the gospel and we're going to repackage it. It doesn't need to be repackaged. It's fine just like it is. Can you say amen? Now, let me close with this. The power of this good news, this glad tidings, this great joy is in your testimony of what he has done for you. The angels came and told what happened to them. And what happens is when Jesus becomes real to you and you go tell other people, look, somebody said, well, I'm gonna tell the story of what happened to somebody else. That's fine, but that's not where it's gonna work. You can, you know, you don't have to go out and say, well, I'm going to tell you what happened to my pastor. No, what happened to you? You go tell others what Jesus has done for you personally. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Every single one of you that are washed in the blood of Jesus, every single one of you that are born again, every single one of you that have been redeemed, you have a testimony. And the power is in your testimony. When I heard your testimony and your wife's testimony, I wept. I had a millionaire builder come in and he told me his testimony, how he was saved. I wept. He wept. I want to hear the testimony. Tell me what happened to you. Tell me what Jesus did for you. Tell me, come on. Tell me how you got saved. Tell me how he redeemed you. Tell me how he set you free. That's the power. And don't let the enemy lie to you and say, well, you don't really have a testimony. Every single one of you that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, that have been redeemed, that have been forgiven, you have a testimony, and you should be bold to tell that testimony and tell the whole world how awesome Jesus is. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good news! And that's why you can truly say to people, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We can do it. Truly. Merry Christmas. Was it? Happy holidays. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You can only communicate that joy if you've received it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Come on, Tampa Bay, it's good news. Come on, Central Florida, it's good news. Come on, the state of Florida, it's good news. Come on, America, it is good news. Glad tidings of great joy. The enemy always tries to make people feel insignificant. And why don't you just shut up? Nobody wants to hear your testimony. That's the time you tell it twice. That's the time you say, I'm going to tell it just another time. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to tell it. Somebody said, there he goes again. Yeah, I'm going to do it a whole lot of time. Oh, many more times before Jesus comes. And something happens when you begin to tell it. The living reality of the moment comes alive in you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Maybe this Christmas day, as you sit around as a family or whenever you celebrate, just let each one just take a few minutes and talk about what the Lord means to them and how he saved them, because that's what Christmas is all about. It's not about saving money on a sale. It's about that he spent it all so that we could be saved and that we could be free. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I pray over you today that everywhere you go these next number of days, good news is going to ooze out of you. Good news is going to ooze out of every pore of your being. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So one final thing, in 83 countries of the world, I've never found a country that the gospel didn't work.
Amen.
I've never left a nation going, okay, tick that down. Didn't work there. Not one country. And I guarantee you, as we journey through the remaining nations of the world, I can promise you right now, there won't be one country we'll find, because it's joy to the world. The Lord has come. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is raising up men and women in this hour that their hearts are filled with good news and glad tidings of great joy. And they're lifting up their voice like a trumpet. And that voice is sounding in the land. And there are many that will say, be quiet, turn it down, tone it down. But I got news for you. We are not toning it down. We're not turning it down. We're going to turn up the volume and we're going to shout it from the mountaintops and from the rooftops to the whole world knows how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. And if they say you're making too much noise, make even more noise. You know, let me just say this one other thing, then we're going to pray. My son got me interested in ice hockey, which, you know, I come from Africa. We have no ice unless you go south to Antarctic and there's penguins there. But so we don't really have, they are in the high mountains and stuff like that. But African, you know, we don't know anything about ice, you know, and games on ice and stuff. So when you go to the Tampa Lightning, they've got these Tesla coils and the lightning will go. And then they have like a signal thing where you, people start to shout and they say, be the thunder. And everybody shouts over a certain thing. And of course, they just to cheer the team on and whatever. You know, I was sitting at the game the other day and people were cheering. You could see the needle going up and everybody's shouting even more. And I thought, if people can be the thunder, for some people running after or skating after a puck, then I'm going to get me some Tesla coils here in the building. And I'm going to get me a sign to make some noise. No, because you are his thunder. You are God's thunder. You are his thunder. You are his lightning. Everywhere you go, to shout it from the mountaintops. Gloria a Dios. If you can do that over a puck on ice, then we can do it over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they can tell me all they want to. Tone it down. Not so much noise. Compose yourself. I am composed. Well, if you do this, they're going to think you're crazy. They already do. But I'm going to be even more. The Bible says David danced before the Lord with all his might. He took off his priestly, his kingly garments and was just left with his shepherd's garment. He took off his, he didn't dance naked before the Lord like some people think. He took off that which signified he was a king and he danced before the Lord with all his might. And his wife, Saul's daughter, she despised him in her heart. And she said, you look vile. He said, I'm going to be more vile than this. And if you think we've been crazy now, you that are watching by way of television, you preachers that tune in, say that guy's a little out. If you think we are now, watch 2020, we're going to be even more. We're going to be even more. Somebody said, well, it'll close doors for you and you won't be welcome. And said, excuse me. The doors you think are should open for me, I don't even want to be there. God said, I set before you an open door that no man can shut. And if God opens a door for you, there is no man that can shut that door. Can you say amen? If God wants you somewhere, then you're going to be somewhere. And we are not changing the message. It doesn't matter if we were standing in front of the Queen of England or the President of the United States. The message is the same. We are not changing it. We are not toning it down. We are not watering it down to become accepted anywhere. We're going to make even more noise. America is going to know. Good news. They're going to know that Jesus loves them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Now, I'm going to say hallelujah, and I want you, with every fiber in your body, with every breath in your body, to give the biggest hallelujah. I will count to three. I want it to be heard blocks away from here today. Let it reverberate through the internet. Let it go through the television screens into people's homes. Come on, because it's good news. I'll count to three and you go hallelujah. One. two, three. Good news. Good news. Good news. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want everybody to bow your heads. Close your eyes if you would, please. I want to give an invitation today for those that are here and those that are watching in their homes, that this day, this good news can become a part of your life. Today you can surrender your life to Him and say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and my Savior. Today we do not just worship a babe in a manger, because He did not stay there. He rose from the dead after He paid the price, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says He's coming very soon. Today we worship a resurrected Savior who is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's no longer a babe in a manger, but He's a resurrected King, and He's coming very soon. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today you can call on Him and say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and my Savior. And today He will save you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, not only in this place, but those that are watching by way of television, if you do not know Jesus today as your Savior, you only know Him as a babe in the manger, I want to give you an invitation today to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You can't earn this, you cannot buy it, but you can humble yourself to receive it. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This good news is to those that are lost. Good news to those that are bound. That you don't have to be lost anymore and you don't have to be bound anymore, but today you can be found. And Jesus is standing with arms wide open and He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls you. Will you surrender? Let me ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? You went home tonight, put your head on your pillow. In the middle of the night, you stopped breathing. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid. Will you accept Him today as your Lord and Savior? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord? Maybe you've come into this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that peace, that joy that you once had. There was a time when you were excited about the things of God, but something happened. Maybe it's something hidden that no one could see. The hidden things of the heart, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust. Hidden things that clog the heart of man, but today you say, I want free of that. I don't want that in my life anymore. Maybe it's not something hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And the enemy uses it against you to keep it a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But I want you to know that's a lie from hell. God is a God of a new beginning. God's a God of a second chance. If you'll just surrender to Him today and say, Lord, I come. And I lay my life on the altar. Have your way in me. Maybe you're in this place today and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but something happened in your life. You lost that first love. You lost that joy, that peace. There was a time when you were also beside yourself with ecstatic joy about Jesus, but that's been gone for whatever reason. Something happened, a storm came, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. Today I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Will you surrender to Him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. You watch Him by way of television. You love Him, but you are not sure of your salvation. You couldn't say beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I died right now, I'm going to go be with Jesus. Those are the people right now. I want you to make sure. I don't want you to leave this church today without making sure that Jesus is your Lord. So if this is you and you're not sure today, you can make sure. Today you can know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. If you fit into any one of these categories that I've just mentioned, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right where you are, without any hesitation whatsoever, quickly put your hand up and say, pray for me. I need Jesus today. Raise your hand up high. God bless you. Your hands are going up all through the building, under the overhang, all the way to the back, over by the sound, all the way across, over onto the side. Put your hand up right now. Today is your day. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Today is your day of joy. Today is joy to the world. Today, glad tidings of great joy comes your way. Once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me, if you would, please. In this section over here, if you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer I'm going to pray right now, quickly, right where you are, put your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else? God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you over there. This section, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, include me. God bless you. I see your hands. Yes, yes, yes. All the way back to the sound booth. This section, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now. And then under the overhang, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, include me. God bless you. And then this section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, today is my day. I'm not wrapping this for you. What I give you is totally unwrapped. Today you can receive it by faith. I want every person that raised your hand to stand right now, all across the building, please. Everyone that raised your hand, stand up right now. Stand up right now. Everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Every person that raised your hand, stand. 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 We're going to pray together. If you're by yourself, I want you to bring your personal belongings and come. Come fill up the altar area. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Those of you in your homes, when I pray with them, you can pray with me. And today, you can surrender your life and say, Jesus, be my Savior and be my Lord. Come. Come. Come now. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. Turning back. I want every single one of you standing here just to look at me for a few minutes. And those in your homes, if you listen carefully, if you mean business with God today, God means business with you. As I said a little earlier, in 83 countries of the world, I've not found one country where they all said, I don't like those people. He loves everybody the same. And today, His mercy and grace is here for you. And His blood is here for you to wash you clean. And so we're going to pray a simple prayer of faith. We come in faith. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't go make ourselves better and come back and get it. We can't. But He's already done it. So we humble ourselves to receive it. So we're going to do that right now. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. In your home, do that right now and pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands. Let me pray over you, Father. I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit. Then on that day, no one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. I break every bondage. I break every hindrance. I break every addiction. I break every curse of witchcraft off of their life. We set them free today by the power of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for it even now. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Now look at me, if you would, please. As a servant of the Most High God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Word of God, and by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, I tell every single one of you right now, your sins are forgiven you right now. Forgiven. That's joy to the world. That's joy to the world right now. That's what the Christmas message is all about. That's it right there. That's the good news.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.